I have a confession to make to you this morning, and I am not proud of what I'm about to tell you. I allowed myself to become rather discouraged during recent months about our shrinking size and our shrinking budget. I started wondering if it's worth it. And I talked to God about it quite a bit, and I talked to a few people, just very few people. There were two people in particular I shared it with. One was Lois Mall, chairman of our board, and another was Jonathan Parker. Both of them listened to me, and they held my hand, and they encouraged me a lot, for which I was very grateful. This is, after all, a major part of being in the family of God, listening, holding hands, and encouraging. Thank God for that. Oh, and serving one another. I want to risk sharing part of what was going on inside of me. I think many of you know my past. I have been accustomed to large ministries. When I worked in churches, I worked in churches that had thousands of members, and my choirs grew to over 100 singers. That's a lot more people than has ever attended this church. It's my choir. I founded the National Christian Choir that grew to 250 singers. I was privileged to conduct some orchestras. I conducted members of the National Philharmonic Orchestra, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, the Peabody Conservatory. I led trips all over the world with large groups. In fact, 15 of them to the Holy Land, and one of them had 320 people. I think it was 6 buses that we had on that trip. I'm used to big numbers. And please understand, I'm not sharing those tidbits to brag. I'm sharing them or to boost my ego, because my ego does not need to be boosted anymore. I am sharing them because I am humbled and grateful for God to the awesome opportunities I had, but I'm also sharing them because of the comparison. Big, small. And I began to dwell on that. I think it was Jonathan who helped me the most during that, when he sent me an email one day, and I've asked his permission to share it with you. This is what he wrote to me. He said, "Harry, I am sorry for your discouragement, and I think you are allowed that. You can grow from it as soon as it does not rule your spirit." I can only imagine what it has been like these past 12 years to watch folks pass away or move away. But you need them, and they need you, no matter the numbers. I don't remember ever being so thankful to be in a church as I am now for Covenant Fellowship. I thank God for that almost every day. I can only wish that if I attained your age, I can only wish if I attained your age in this life that my ministry could approach being so vibrant and necessary. God will bless you in your efforts and carry you through this time of discouragement. Well, that ministered to me powerfully. The first thing I did is I called Lois Mall and I read it to her. And it touched her very much, too. I don't know which part of it touched me the most. I think if it were words, they would be these. But you need them. And they need you. But I think it was more than that. I think it was the heart that went into the words. The sincerity of them. I think Jonathan said to me some things I needed to hear that were corrective, but he said them with love. which is the body of Christ. We all need to have correction sometimes, a change of course, but we need to be loved, and we are. Now, as you know, I'm a planner, and I plan my sermon topics way in advance, and I write my sermons in advance. 2 weeks ago, I sat down to start writing a future sermon, and I pulled out my notes to see what the topic was that I picked last year. And I looked at the notes that I'd already made for that sermon title, and I read through them, and honestly, I was bored to death. It just fell flat. I couldn't feel, what am I going to do with this? What was I thinking? And so I started praying, and I said, Lord, give me a new inspiration, something to share with the congregation. And he did. And I just started typing on the computer, and it just flowed like crazy. And I realized that he wanted me to share it with you now, not in the future. And when I finished it, I also realized that this message is for me, as well as it is for you. He led me to this scripture, Luke 13, verse 18. Then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. Again, he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Okay, I think I know what God was trying to tell me through that scripture, but I felt like I wanted to do some research on it. I like to do research. I like to learn things. I like to grow. And so I learned some things about mustard seeds that I did not know, that I think are very interesting. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't. I'll share them. A mustard seed is only 1 to 3 millimeters in size, and it would take 20,000 of them to make 1 ounce. Can you imagine that? Did you say wow? That's a Presbyterian hallelujah, you know, when you say wow. Wow, 20,000. And that yellow mustard that I love to slather on my hot dogs is made from mustard seeds, water, and vinegar. And it takes 1,000 mustard seeds to make just 8 ounces of mustard. Wow. And there is a high content of protein in mustard seeds. Guess how much? 46% is protein. That's almost half of it, protein. And our bodies need protein. And when you plant one mustard seed, it grows to the largest herbal plant on the planet Earth. Jesus even referred to it as a tree. Why? Because it reaches a height of 15 feet. That's more than twice as tall as I am. 15 feet. And yes, birds can rest in the branches of that little tree, because it grows so big. And so far, those facts just underscore what Jesus taught, and that is big results can come from what seem to be small things. I already knew that, but I needed to be reminded. And I learned even more. Even the leaves of the mustard plant, tree, whatever it is, the leaves are used by other people around the world. In some parts of the world, they stir fry the leaves and eat them as a vegetable. I didn't know that. And more, there's oil in the mustard seed, and they take the oil out of the mustard seed and they use it to massage the body, because the oil of a mustard seed warms the body during the winter months. Wow. And it is the predominant cooking oil in South Asia. Go figure. That tiny little mustard seed is a gift that keeps on giving, as they say. And God uses that little seed far, far more than making my hot dog taste better. And of course, you know where I'm going with this. Success does not depend on size. Harry, success does not depend on size. God can bring something of great significance out of something that seems so small to some other people that they might find it fragile. We may not be a large church. We may not be the wealthiest church on the block. The world might look at Covenant Fellowship and say, well, they can't make a difference in this world. They can't have any influence. They're not very important. Look at them. They're dying. A slow death. They're shrinking. Well, we ain't dead yet. God sees it differently, you know. He sees the whole picture, which we can't see. And I think you probably know that this passage in Luke that I read is not the only time that Jesus referred to a mustard seed in the Bible. In Matthew 17, he used it again in a different illustration, beginning in verse 14. I'm going to read it. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. He was discouraged. And Jesus replied, O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. And then the disciples came to Jesus in private, and they asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. That scripture hit me between the eyes hard at several levels. And one of them was this: even Jesus got discouraged. I could really identify it when he said, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? And I thought, if Jesus felt that way, maybe it's okay for me to feel that way too and have similar feelings about my own ministry right here with you. But then he said, Harry, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move. He was talking to me as I was reading that. And I thought, is my faith smaller than a mustard seed? I don't even want to face the possibility that that's true. But I got the message loudly and clearly. I need to quit looking at the numbers. Smaller numbers than I'm accustomed to by comparison. I need instead to look at the power of God to you and through you and with us together. That's where I need to refocus. I have no idea what kind of tree God may want to grow out of this congregation, this church, but that's what he does. He does that kind of thing. We are not insignificant, so there. We can make a difference, so there. If we have faith in whatever God is doing to us right now and what he's going to do in the future, because he can do anything he wants to. But brothers and sisters, we are fragile. We are shrinking. And I would prefer for it to be otherwise, quite honestly. But I need to trust God in that. I need to trust him. Now, I want to go back to Jonathan's email again. He said to me that my ministry is vibrant and necessary, and I want to say your ministry is vibrant and necessary. No, let me rephrase that. Our ministry together is vibrant and it's necessary. And not just you and me, as we hold one another's hands, as we listen to one another, as we encourage one another, as we guide one another, but for the influence that this congregation, no matter its size, can have on future generations, not just next year, not just next decade, but generations from now. And yes, I think that's going to happen after we're dead. I think it's going to happen after most of us or all of us are completely gone and we're rejoicing in our heavenly reward in front of God. But I believe in all my heart that God has a plan that is far bigger than you or me and what's happening in this congregation right now. I believe that. In his email, Jonathan added that God will bless me in my efforts and carry me through. Yes, praise his name. He's done that. He's doing that, and he will do that. But I'll take it a step further, too. God is blessing you in your efforts to carry this fellowship from where we are to wherever God has already planned for us to be. Now, just in case this needs to be said, I'm going to say it. Covenant fellowship is not here for your pleasure or for your personal spiritual encouragement. It's here for something far bigger than you and me. This congregation is a building block in God's holy temple, and you and I are privileged to be part of it. You know, God does not just work through small things. He works mightily through small things. Mightily. I planted some new flowers in my front yard a couple of weeks ago, and I watered them, and I watched them, and I thought, are you going to bloom? Are you going to bloom? Nothing's happened yet. It takes time. It's too early yet. It takes time for them to bloom. If you were to plant a mustard seed today, it would take 10 days before it would peek through the soil. How long would it take to become a 15-foot-tall plant? It takes 3 months for that to happen. That's practically a whole summer around here in this part of the world. But buds will appear on that plant about a month after the plant pokes through the soil. And they will even bloom 2 months before the plant has come into maturity. But they've got more time ahead of them. They don't know what's ahead of them. They've got more time. They've got to be harvested, a lot more weeks, about 6 weeks more to go, actually, for that plant. In other words, like most things in life, it takes time and it takes patience. And I need to work on patience. And I can understand that need even better now that I'm an old man. I remember the days of my youth when I wanted gratification and I wanted it now. Anybody here identify with that? Ed, I know you were that way. Yeah, you can't deny it. I know you were that way. Will any of us live long enough to see the fruit of what God is doing here? I don't know. I don't know. Perhaps not. But it gives me tremendous hope and encouragement to know that God ain't through with covenant fellowship yet. He's not. He's not through with you, and he's not through with me. In my case, I think he wants to teach me more about humility. and trust. And I pray that I will be a good student. What might he want to teach you? Through our fellowship, where we are right now, I don't know, but I want to suggest a few things. I think God might want to teach some of us that smaller church families are usually closer together than large church families. It's common sense. It's common sense. In a small church, there's a greater opportunity for us to get to know one another better and to listen to one another more and to hold each other's hands and to encourage one another and to be the family of God, the body of Christ together. In some ways, I think we are far more blessed than mega churches now that I've experienced both. Far more. Suppose I were to give you a quiz right now and I were to ask you, what is the tallest mountain in the world? I'll bet you could answer, Mount Everest in Southern Asia. Well, suppose I were to ask you, what is the shortest mountain in the world? Would you know? I'll bet you don't. It's Mount Witcherproof in Australia. I like to do research. What's the point? It's obvious. We tend to remember the big things, and we tend to forget the small things. In fact, we tend to ignore sometimes the small things. And we're also like that in our society, you know. We're not satisfied with a sedan. We want an SUV. We're not satisfied with a Walmart. We want a super Walmart. The culture has sold us or tries to sell us the concept that bigger is better. I've bought that from time to time. I bet you have too. But when it came to Jesus, talking about spiritual things, he said, you know, sometimes the opposite is true. Smaller is better. You know, in that illustration that I read in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus had a second example other than the mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and she mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. That was a great example for those people because bread was a daily need in their diet. It was a staple of their diet. So a woman would bake fresh bread every day, and she needed yeast in order to make the bread rise and to taste wonderful. And where did she get that yeast? She got it from a little handful of dough from the day before. And then it says that she mixed that yeast into a large amount of flour. That's what the NIV translation says. But the literal translation of the Greek word there is that it was between 30 and 40 pounds of flour with just that little bit of yeast. I like to research. And she would need that bread and need it and need it and need it and need it until it just spread through the entire thing. That's another great example that small things can make a big difference. And I want to suggest, obviously, that our fellowship is a lot like that yeast. But let's not forget this. It took work. Lots of work on behalf of that woman, needing and needing and needing. Some of you can identify right now with what I'm saying because you like to bake. Where am I going with that? Just this. Anything worthwhile requires commitment. At the risk of sounding accusatory, I'm going to say it this way. Anything worthwhile requires commitment. It takes effort. It takes time. And you know what? It might even take some sacrifice. How much of that are we willing to give to God? please don't take this fellowship for granted. God doesn't. Please don't. It is a wonderful, special gift from our Heavenly Father. And it's not just for me, and it's not just for you. It's for all of us together. Together. To paraphrase John F. Kennedy, ask not what God can do for you, ask what you can do for God. That's a great motto for a Christian fellowship. Don't come here to get, come here to give to God. Some of you, some of us, can echo what Jonathan said in the email when he said, I don't remember ever being so thankful to be in a church as I am for Covenant Fellowship. He's not the only person I've heard say that. I don't know what motivated Jonathan to say that, but I can answer that for me. I'm thankful for a number of reasons for you and for this church. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I am in the final chapters of my life. Welcome to that room with me, because most of us are there. And I suspect that many of our brothers and sisters who have already gone into glory, if they've had an opportunity to have a conversation with God, they said, and by the way, God, thank you for Covenant Fellowship. Please bless that little group, Lord, because I was really blessed through worshiping there. And you know what? I'm saying that right now. And I think I'm going to say it when I finally get to heaven, too. I thank God for Covenant Fellowship. So, brothers and sisters, I do not plan to give up. I do not plan to give up. I plan to move forward, shoulder to shoulder with you, unless and until God says otherwise. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I want to close with God's message from Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 23. I used this passage last Sunday, not knowing I was going to use it again this Sunday. It says, take this to heart, as if it's the first time you've ever heard it. Take it to heart. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and toward good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I like that one. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen.